So it has been a little while since we had a chat with Quincy Ward 3 City Councilor Ian Kane about all matters Ward 3 and all matters Ian. Hey, Ian, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Joe. It's nice to see. I can't believe it's been so long.
I know. It's like I said, it's everything is different, but still the same. Here we are still Zooming, and I know you're still doing that on the council as well, but it's good to see you.
Year has just flown by since COVID happened, and but interestingly, we're just in a weird time warp, right? It almost feels like things last March felt longer ago than 2019, just because 2020 was such an anomalous year.
It's so true. Yeah, I think people are just trying to like let that year go away and pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
How are you doing personally? How are you holding up during this time?
Good. I'm fine. Fortunate. Family's healthy. Everyone's good. I was just telling you, you know, got a puppy last year, so got handful with that, but she's a love, so it's very enjoyable. Yeah, everything's going well. Keep pretty busy, you know, outside of council. I've got a number of other sort of small personal projects that I'm working on, so been able to adequately manage activity from home. But then also, you know, kind of still manage activity on the outside with, you know, with trepidation or however your people are approaching things. So
how do you think Ward 3 and the city are doing, when it comes to the pandemic?
Well, I mean, the city's response has been unbelievable. It just continues to get better. Obviously, with, Ruth Jones had run an amazing organization from the health department, and I mean, she was like not only leading the health response in coordination with the community, you know, health services, and but it was almost like she was a psychologist too, because people would call for all sorts of questions, just like I, you know, came in touch with someone that might have had it. You know, what do I do? And so that department's been doing an amazing job. It was sad to see her go, obviously, and I know that the administration is working on finding her dutiful replacement. But the city's done a great job. I mean, now they've spun up Old Colony Ave and have started the vaccination process. And I know that operation will grow from there with Manit Community Health. And then we also have the sort of other ends of South Shore and BID Milton, which are, I know, separately fueling this effort as well on the vaccination side, because I've heard from residents in the area who have actually been reached out to by the hospitals if they're of that, you know, certain phase over 75. That they're actually proactively outreaching if they'd been treated at those medical centers before and taking care of their vaccinations.
Oh, that's good to hear. They're being proactive. I know BI has got a clinic set up at State Street, I believe, as well as their parkingway location too in downtown.
Right. But I think, you know, so there's the city response, how people have been handling. I think people have been managing as best as possible, right? There's so many different aspects, and you know, some people, you know, there's young people who've been affected. There's older people who've been affected, people in their jobs. The economy is obviously still in a weird place, especially correlated to the crazy stock market. But, you know, I think people have been doing their best. But it's been an interesting time. I mean, last year alone, you know, I think the last time we talked, we had done that writing competition for the kids. And, you know, just interpreting how they're perceiving the situation. And I hope to re-up on that competition this year, get some of our sponsors who came in so that we can have a refresh on the perspective, because, you know, since last May, things have, you know, it's been a lot different. So.
Oh, if you do, please let us know. We'd love to help you with that again and feature those kids. I had a blast myself.
Yeah, that was amazing. I really appreciate that you did. We certainly will, for sure.
Great. Great. Speaking of, while we're on the topic of education and kids, Ian, let's talk about the resolution that you introduced earlier this week regarding getting kids back in-person learning.
Right. Yeah. You know, this is driven from the people that I represent and the people that I communicate with on a regular basis. It's, you know, parents who are struggling, seeing their kids struggle. It's, you know, there are teachers who are struggling educating their students, and for a number of reasons, just through this medium, it's a bit difficult. So, you know, the effort was really just to show that the city council is behind the efforts that the city is making, the Quincy Public School System, the Quincy School Committee, to support our parents, our teachers, and our students. You know, it's been really tough. I it's going to be unfortunately fascinating to see the effects of this pandemic on the educational successes of our students. And, you know, some of our less fortunate families in the city, you know, this is a big deal where kids can't and haven't been able to receive education in an appropriate way. I mentioned this the other night, and, you know, I'll definitely mention it again. You know, we keep talking about, there's been this big discussion of the council about equity, and we heard all these stories from people and different services of the city not being equitably received by residents. And this is a huge component of that. And so this was a message that we just wanted to send, that we're behind any efforts that are going to be made to provide more equitable and normal education for students, because it's potentially detrimental to them. So, you know, I think the message was well received. You know, I'm very thankful for the folks that I've heard from after that meeting, who appreciate that a message has been conveyed, and that, you know, people are thinking about this. Obviously we aren't, you know, setting policy for the school necessarily, but we just certainly wanted to share an opinion that let's get things going. You know, this has gone on a long time. We're kind of coming out of the woods, and, you know, we can see through hopefully to a future that's a little more safe for people to interact. And I know that there's going to be dramatic measures that'll have to be taken in order to adequately support the students, but let's get going.
It did ultimately pass before, but there was some concern raised that the council shouldn't wade into the affairs of the school committee. So how do you feel about that?
I mean, I said my piece that night. The city council approves the education budget, and it's the biggest component of the city's budget. So it is our business. You know, we certainly have the right and, you know, to make opinions on certain things. You know, there was no criticism involved. This was a piece of support, as I said, you know, and so there was commentary all over the place, but there was, of course, no malintent, and everyone can have their opinions. Everyone does, as you very well know. But this was just meant to say that, hey, whatever resources you need, or, you know, however we can get this done, let's get it done. Just let us know how we can help.
We'll talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about, you know, the budget and how the pandemic is going to impact city finances going forward. That is really the bigger, you know, topic that covers schools and everything else. Are you worried about that?
I don't know about worried. I think I sat with the mayor the other day, and I think he's trying to figure out some steps to make sure that we can cover any potential shortfalls from receipts. Because obviously we saw in the tax classification, there was a small hit that, you know, we have taken in receipts from taxes on both the residential and the sort of excise side. So we'll see what happens there. I think that's to be determined, but I'm pretty confident that we'll be okay. I think the city's in good financial shape, you know, that we can weather whatever storm might be, if there is a storm. You know, in the next couple of months, April, May, we'll come back to budget season and see what adjustments are made. But, you know, in terms of safety measures, there's probably additional financial allocations that need to be made. And, you know, I don't know if that comes from or either comes from or is reimbursed by federal aid or state aid that might come through. It sounds like the governor's put forward, you know, pretty regular package to support cities and towns. And so I think we're hoping for business as usual. Obviously we're kind of acting as such, and there really hasn't been a discontinuity in overall city services aside from the delivery of education, right? So I'm not worried. I think we'll figure it out.
At the same time, of course, the council's debating the plans for the new public safety complex. Is this the time to be doing that, do you think?
Well, there's a couple ways to look at it, right? It's $120 million is a ton of money. We're going to be borrowing that money, right? So we'll be bonding that. The interest rate environment is such that, you know, that low interest rate it's a good time to borrow, to let that ride for the, you know, 20-year life of the bond, or whatever, how many years the term is. You know, we'll have that debate. I think that obviously the facility is in need of replacement. Public safety is paramount. Police and fire having a and DPW having, you know, whole public safety headquarters there. So, you know, I think we'll look at the numbers. We'll see what the sort of debt service adds to the all, you know, to the debt service that we're already covering. You know, I know that we have the capacity to borrow. So it's not like we're in bad shape, but you know, it's kind of like if not now, then when, and what's going to happen to the interest rate environment. But you know, we certainly can't afford it, but we'll see. I mean, similarly, and not to necessarily change subjects, but it's along the same lines. It's, you know, we're looking at this municipal broadband network, and that's a sizable amount of money too. Granted, the financing is a little different because it's not necessarily, you know, to be financed on the commitments of subscribers that come into the network. And so, you know, there's a lot of things still on the docket, I think, that, that the administration want to move forward. And, you know, I think they want to keep business going as usual. I mean, I don't blame them. But I don't think we're in that, I don't think we're in a bad spot that we shouldn't be considering them, you know. And then there's optics, right? It's just sort of throwing out a number, and not necessarily everyone understands how these projects are financed and funded. And some people might just not want them for the mere sake that it's a big number, but it doesn't mean that we can't do it.
Not only broadband you mentioned, but maybe even Quincy Power Company.
Yeah. Quincy Power and Light. Actually, I mean, that would probably be what it's called. Yeah, I think that one's a little more, that's a big ask. That's a tall ask, but that certainly, you know, I moved up to Forbes Hill over a year ago, and we've had probably 10 power outages since we've lived up here. And I mean, that's ridiculous. That's, you know, even just since the fall, October-ish, we've had 7 or so. And, you know, due to weather, transmission, there was some big substation work going on in North Quincy for a period of time. But it's, people are really noticing this. Obviously, people are working from home. It's affecting their productive work lives. When the power's out, the internet's out, it just shuts everything down. And so connected to the municipal broadband network, if the city doesn't intend to manage the network itself as the operator and, you know, sort of maintenance provider for that network, you know, we outsource it, and then we wouldn't necessarily have to form this power and light company, but for the sake of Quincy wanting to take control, we would have to form a municipal, like power and light company. And so the idea is, hey, if we're looking at this anyway, what would it look like if the city took over the electricity infrastructure assets and control the operations and maintenance, of the electricity system as well, which would hopefully allow for a little more control in situations like we've incurred with recent power outages. Okay. So we're hoping, actually, I think National Grid just confirmed, you know, I invited them to come to speak about what's going on with the infrastructure and the service, because it's just, I mean, it's just like third world nation stuff, and it's crazy. But we're an old city, it's old infrastructure, and they're a private company, and I'm not sure that investing in infrastructure is number one on their list, you know, and we're kind of a captive audience with the service that they provide, which is too bad. So they're going to come to the next meeting though and give an update. So I think that's March 1 and give an update on what's going on with the system.
Oh, they agreed to come then. Okay.
They did. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, point for them, I guess. At least.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I appreciate that. I mean, just to give some clarity to what's going on, because the power outages have been a tough one. Obviously it happens, but it's hurting people because they're home and working.
Will there be kind of a similar survey done like you did for the broadband proposal?
No, I don't. There's no intent right now to put out a survey. Okay. I think it's kind of exploratory in nature. So trying to understand the legalities, trying to understand how much it would cost to acquire this, you know, the system and the poles, and then take it from there.
Okay. Have you consulted with, like, say, Braintree, who does have a similar setup now?
So I consulted Braintree when we started to think about the municipal broadband network, because their broadband is a component of their power and light company.
Right.
But I have not talked to them about the electricity component.
Okay. Very good. Let's talk a little bit about creating a new department of the city for social justice and equity. And How do you feel about that?
So, you know, I said the same thing when this measure was debated. I think it's a nice idea. I'm just not sure that it's going to do what people think it's going to do. So I think that we had, you know, there were tens of people that came to speak and share their very, very heartfelt experiences, particularly about racism and prejudice. And I'm missing the connection between what this department as defined will do and alleviating some of those experiences and sentiments that people have had, which are, they're very real. That happens, you know, and it's unfortunate it happens. And it's, to me, it's not something that's going to be eradicated maybe at all, certainly not with ease, and definitely not with this department. You know, I certainly was up at City Hall the other day, and I was talking to Betty Yao, who I think is just a hidden gem in the mayor's office, who does a considerable amount of work, especially with the East Asian community. And I just, you know, I wanted to give her some credit, because I'm like, Betty, why aren't people bringing up the work that you do? You know what I mean? If this is such an issue, I know how much effort and time that she puts into creating, you know, such strength within that portion of our community. I just don't want that to be overlooked, you know, in terms of this particular department. I think, of course, there's places that that can be improved, right? I think generally, by our very nature, we pick our own, you know what I mean? This is politics too. You run for an office, you get elected to an office, and you get to give your friends jobs. That's reality, right? You know, this department won't necessarily change that. It'll still fall under the purview of the executive of the city, much as do every other department heads. But, you know, I think, in potentially in collaboration, if not strengthening of the human resources function within the city, there could be ways that, you know, the city might reach out to different constituencies, you know, in tandem. We passed the other night, an ordinance that would require certain positions that would open up in the city to be posted online. And that's, you know, that's great. And I think in tandem with that, there's an opportunity to do some recruiting in potentially underserved or, you know, underserved constituencies that might not have access to these particular jobs. But yeah, I mean, I think, as I said, on its merit and on its spirit, it's a good thing. It's a nice thing. I just am not, you know, there's for me, there's a lot of hairiness around these terms, and it's a lot of sort of deep rhetoric, and there's sort of implied, and there's a lot of assumptions that are made with these terms that are tossed around. I just want people to understand, though, that it's not going to be the panacea that they're looking for, you know, in reality. You know, I think that there are many things that people do to enfranchise different parts of the community, and there are different parts of the community that work well together to strengthen the bonds. You know, 5 years ago, or 2015, when I first ran for the seat, I remember being asked at a candidates forum, you know, what do you think is the biggest issue, you know, kind of going on in the city? And I said, I think we have a problem with cultural integration. And I remember I said that very honestly and openly, and not connected to the sort of terms that we toss around these days. And I remember the feedback I got from some folks like, you probably don't want to bring that up. I'm like, but that's the reality. I'm going door to door, and I'm hearing people talk about neighbors and different people that are coming to the city and moving here and making it their home and starting businesses here, you know? And I'm just like, this is crazy, but it's real. You know, this is how people feel. It's sentiments. And so all we can do is continue to work together. And it's not about being divisive. You know, it's about being collaborative, right? It's about creating opportunities for people to come together. That's the impetus of Porch Fest. That's the impetus of things like that. Get people out of their homes and into each other's lives. You know, Corey does a great job bringing together community. We've got the, you know, Lunar New Year celebration, which is unfortunately not in person this year, but that's a great community event where different parts of the community come together, businesses, residents, you know, so the work is happening. I, you know, am hopeful, generally, but, you know, I think, I think that department we could do better or different, you know?
Okay. Was that kind of a secondary goal of Porchfest, Ian, when you started up?
Yeah, always. Cause I want people to forget about the small things that bother them that don't matter. Right. There are plenty more ways to find joy and through community interaction. And that's absolutely one of them. That's community building, you know, 101, like music, everyone can get behind it. You can get behind it on a nice day, walking around your neighborhood and seeing people that you don't normally interact with.
You're planning a in-person event this year, do you think?
I hope so. That'd be great. Yeah, that would be great.
Too soon to say, I know.
It is. Yeah. Just kind of day by day at this point.
Yeah. Speaking of politics, good time to ask you, are you going to seek a re-election this year?
You bet I am.
Why?
I still have work to do. This is a great job. I've had a blast. We've done really good work and we've got some really good projects. I need to see this municipal broadband system, go through. This is something that people want and I'm committed to finishing it. We've done some really good things. The municipal aggregation we passed last year. We got Harriet Ave, we got the folks in Montclair satisfied with maintaining that open space, that parcel down there. We still have good work to do. I'm having fun, I enjoy it, and I look forward to the opportunity to continue for another 2 years.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks.
You did, yes.
how are businesses in Ward 3 holding up, Ian? Anything the city you think will be able to do for them in the future?
So we've got a small business footprint here, in Ward 3. A lot, you know, we've got some retail shops, we've got a restaurant, La Paloma, like Stop and Shop, Marshalls. Right. But that, our area is not, I mean, we've got, you know, Granite Telecom, a couple of businesses down there. I think on the whole, things seem okay. You know, the restaurants like Brick and Beam, they've been able to pivot. They've got some outdoor situation going on and, they still got good crowds. And, you know, now that the curfew's lifted, I think that's, been good for restaurants too. I think if anything, and sort of connected to Ward 3 a little bit, much more Ward 5, we'll be looking at the Wollaston Business District
for sure.
Yeah. Cause that it's bleeding over into, you know, Brook Street area, at Newport Ave. And I know that there's some consideration to combine a number of those parcels next to the fire station. Yes. To build something. Don't know what that looks like yet, but it's an interesting prospect that area has certainly wanted for change for a number of years. And so we'll look forward to seeing how that goes. And then, you know, I think we're still just at the initial stages of reviewing this plan for the revitalization of Wollaston. But I think the community will be excited to take part in that process, because I know that over the years I've had conversations with people and they're looking for something fresh.
Yeah, there is information right on the homepage of the city website too that folks can check out just to get a sense for what's going on. Are you worried at all about the Fox Rock development downtown, where the parking garage used to be? Worried about it not happening.
Oh, no, I'm not worried about it not happening. Period.
Okay. Stop. Full stop.
Yeah.
All right. You do think it is going to happen. It's pandemic delayed, as they're saying.
Yeah. I think especially with, the tenants that they're bringing to the city, I think they've been focused on other things medically related. And so I think that is what has slowed down the process, and I can understand that. It would be one thing if it was a different type of group, but you know, we've got two hospital systems that have been very much focused on being the front line of the pandemic, and so I think from their perspectives, other things might have just taken a back burner.
Sure. Have you done any virtual community meetings at all during the pandemic, Ian?
Actually, I have not. So thanks for calling me out on that. Looks like I'll have to set up a couple. No, not at all. I'm just kidding, Joe. We were going to, cause you know, I had scheduled a slate of Ward 3 town hall series for last year.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, we unfortunately canceled those. Yeah. So, we had considering doing something virtual, but I think we just kept hoping that, you know, something was going to open up and the next one we were going to do was around broadband. So definitely something to consider. And I appreciate that actually you're bringing it up, because I think there's a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah. I thought they were very popular when you had different department heads come to the Walston School, you know, on an evening just to explain what they do. So I'm sure, you know, that maybe virtually, as long as you don't put your cat filter on, you should be okay.
Oh my God. That video went around, huh?
Just one of the many challenges I'm sure that students and parents are dealing with. No question.
Yeah. Oh my God. I hope I don't have a cat filter.
If a lawyer can be Zoom bombed, then I guess anybody can.
Then anyone can. Yeah.
Anything else you want to touch on right now?
No, I'm just so glad that we were able to catch up. I appreciate you having me on today, and we'll have to do it a little more frequently. If we get the writing contest going again, which I hope to, then you know, you'll get first billing for a show.
Excellent. Appreciate okay. that. Yeah, yeah. No, please reach out anytime. I apologize for not reaching out sooner. I should have done that. So
not at all. Not
glad
at all.
We're able to do it. For folks who do want to get a hold of you, what's some good ways?
Email ICAIN@quincyma.gov. I have a website, iancain.org, IANCAIN. And then I've got a city phone that you can reach me. It's 617-483-5004. Look forward to connecting with anyone.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Ian.
Thanks, Joe. Have a great day.
Happy, safe, healthy new year for all of us.
Thank you. Same to you. Take care.